Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michelle Price from A Third Mind Digital Media Group, and you're listening to the Online Thought Leader Salon, where our mantra is, connectivity is the new currency. Connecting with others through the World Wide Web is something I believe I was destined to do, but more importantly, what you were destined to do, beyond creating a brand, beyond creating a message, creating a platform, and not just any platform, but a conversation that positioned you as an original thinker and thought leader. So here we are now, where women and other leading-edge thinkers come to experience those who are building platforms of influence on the social web, using blogs, social media, online communities, and discover how they can do the same thing. Today, I'm beyond honored to have as my guest, online thought lead her, Jenna Fernandez, CEO of CareBooker.com. CareBooker.com revolutionizes the way people search for and secure family care professionals by allowing users free access to their growing user base of service providers and even booking around a service provider's real-time availability. That's the thing that got my attention, because she thinks that CareBooker is meant to be used as a way for care providers to manage their entire business. They even provide a book now button that any service provider on CareBooker can use to easily turn their own website into a booking and payment platform. And all the care providers get their own web page that gives them a unique URL, which is similar to LinkedIn, and they bring the power of search engine optimization to their service providers. So we can't wait to learn more about this aspect of CareBooker.com and to find out what spurred Jenna to innovate on behalf of caregivers everywhere. So welcome, Jenna.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me on the radio today.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, you know, I was really quite intrigued because, you know, there's all these commercials about a site that you, I'm sure you're very familiar with, called Care.com. And so when I got the information about your site, the first thing I asked was, well, how is this different? And what I thought was so intriguing and amazing is that you actually came back with a lot of ways how you're different. And so that's what got my attention. And that's what I wanted to get you on, because I feel like there are women who are innovating on the social web. We don't hear that much about them. Mainly it's all the men that you hear about. And I was really intrigued that you guys would be willing to allow a care provider to actually leverage your site to grow their business.
Yeah, no, and Care.com is a great platform. It's been around for, you know, since 2006, but you know, we're a newer platform, so we've seen things change. As you know, Care.com is great for, I think, what it was, but I believe for more modern parents, newer parents, people who are really into using the web for everyday life. What we've built is more attuned to the future, we hope, for what parents will want and need from the web.
Ah, so you guys are, you're thinking, like, what's next?
We're hoping, yeah. I mean, you've seen it with other industries where with travel, you know, they start out as individual sites and then they come into where there's one platform where you can book everything and everything is really, free-ish to do. So we're trying to make it more acceptable to do that for care also, since it's something everybody needs every day of their life.
Who are you telling? Yeah, I mean, I was a caregiver for my elderly parents. My mom passed a couple of years ago. My dad's still around. And even though he has a full-time caregiver, I'm still involved in that. So, you know, it is something that when I saw all the different types of care that you could book, I was really impressed. So that, where did the idea come from?
Well, it came from when I was a consultant in New York City. You know, there are a lot of people really busy. It's also very expensive to live there. And even though you're around a lot of people all the time, you're not really connected to anybody. And I am personally very much a pet person. I've always had dogs. But when I lived there, I really couldn't figure out how to have one. It was difficult to find people to take care of your pet. It was expensive. So my first initial concept was just online booking and payment for pet care, which we did actually build, and it did very well in New York. But I realized while doing that, all this other type of care that could also utilize what we had created. So we took Pet It Forward. We decided to turn this into CareBooker and make it a much more powerful and innovative system.
I got it. So then looking at that, you know, kind of, you said Pet It Forward, was that the name of it?
Yes, it was, yep.
Oh, that's cute. That was so cute.
Thank you.
So, you know, I always like, people always ask about successes, and I like to find out what mistakes people made. What was the biggest mistake you made getting started, do you think?
You know, I think being a first-time entrepreneur, you make so many mistakes. And they're good, though, because you learn from every single one of them if you look at them the right way.
Well, hopefully. Way.
Yeah, I hope so. And I realized that from when I started till now, I'm a totally different entrepreneur. But one of the main mistakes I think most people make, and I definitely was one of these, is I concentrated too much on little details on the site. So instead of thinking about, you know, the big picture and just getting things out, what we call an MVP mm-hmm. or a minimal viable product, I really sort of agonized over little pieces and details. And now
like the color of the button or something.
Yeah, and I realize now that that's going to change anyway. When you get it out there, people are going to tell you things you didn't even think about. You're going to have a whole new community of individuals that are using your site and platform every day, telling you things that, you know, how it really works versus how you thought it would work.
Work. And, you know, I would say that women, as a woman and working with women, I see that all the time.
And I forget who said this, but someone said to me that if you're not embarrassed by the first product you put out, then you've spent too long working on it. And that's, you know, even with the first iteration of Twitter, the first iteration of LinkedIn, if you see them, it's kind of shocking. they're hideous, hideous sites. They're very hideous. And you wonder how this could potentially become a great company. But they learned, and they took advice from their user base, and they started seeing what was working and what wasn't, and they were able to be a lot more agile and move quickly because of that. So that's
well,
really
that's awesome.
It's one of the biggest mistakes.
Yeah, that is important.
One of the biggest changes. It's a big change.
Yeah, you know, agility is so important these days. You have to be agile, and if you're not agile, you're going to get eaten for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, you know, what would you say was the one most important thing you learned about through this process?
Oh, I would say that it's pretty much about that skill sets aren't enough when you're starting out. You have to have a passion and you have to be committed, because you can be the smartest person in the world, but if you're not passionate about what you're doing and you're not really committed to what you're doing and want to spend your whole life doing this, then you're not going to spend the time to make it something big. I think, you know, to be a really good entrepreneur, and it's not just myself, I think it's everyone I've seen that builds something. This is not a job for us. You know, it's kind of like it's a passion, and it's something that we live on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really, you know, that if I've learned anything, is that you really do have to think beyond, and when you're hiring people too, you have to think beyond the skill sets they have to what you think they're capable of and the passion that they have for what you're doing. I would rather hire
that
someone.
That is so amazing.
You know, yeah, if you're willing to work 120% for a company, that's so much more valuable than someone that just has a great degree. Because it's, you know,
right,
it's on a daily basis.
Somebody who can program
an
Excel spreadsheet to do amazing things.
Yeah. Right. No, and loves it. You know, when I was hiring my first employees, I really realized how important it was that you'd want to, like, it's almost like a marriage in a way. You want to make sure you can live with them on a daily basis and that they're going to put time and be loyal to you. So it's because you're working with them really intently on a daily basis. So I think that's really what I've learned.
So are you more of a virtual company, or are you a brick and mortar?
Well, we are working out of co-working space right now. We have our part of our team is in California. Those are our programmers. And we are located in Connecticut. So myself and our director of marketing, we are located in Stamford, Connecticut. We're actually invested partially by the state of Connecticut. So we're going to be here for the long haul in Connecticut, really growing the business and hiring here.
So you said you're invested in by the state of Connecticut?
Yes, yeah, they have a venture fund, and it's actually one of the most active venture funds in the country for states. So,
well, who knew?
They're great partners, and they're really excited about what we're doing. So we're happy to have them on board as investors.
You know what? That is so amazing. Because that was one of my questions. I was going to ask you that. Did you take investment? Did you do did you have investors?
Yes. Yeah. No. I spent time fundraising, and it's mainly angels, individual angels, and then the state of Connecticut's the main institutional investor in the company.
Okay. So, I'm in California. I'm in San Diego.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, California is where our tech team is in San Jose. So they're all there. So we spend a lot of time on West Coast time.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, that's the best time.
I love it.
Well, I love it here. I really do. I love it, but back east is beautiful also. So what information do you wish you had when you were starting out? What information do you wish you had, like, starting out?
That's a really good question. I think when I was first starting out, I had the idea, and I was afraid to talk to people about it. I think it was, and I see this with a lot of first-time entrepreneurs. They think somebody's going to steal what they've thought of, and they're afraid if someone asks them what they're working on, they'll say, oh, I can't talk about it yet. And most of the information that I wish I had gotten earlier from talking to people about that. About what I was doing.
Let me get this right. So you wish you would have talked to people about your idea sooner?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And I wish I talked to experts about my idea sooner. Especially when I was thinking about head it forward, it was more internal information. I was trying to learn myself, but I shouldn't have had to have done that. Most people are, really willing and able to help. I've found that out now. I'm no longer afraid of talking to, advisors and people who are interesting about what I'm doing, because they just really add to it. And they also are excited to, and sometimes they even want to get involved. And it's really, I think that it's almost funny, but also very, it's nice that people think someone's going to steal their idea, because that means they're really excited about it. But most individuals aren't going to. They have other things they're working on. They have, other ideas they want to work on. It's not a true thing to be scared of.
Got it. Okay. And I got to say, that's really great. That's a really great answer, because I do hear so many people saying, well, no, don't tell anybody that. I don't want to talk about that. And wanting you to sign an NDA before you talk to them about their idea. And they make it so difficult for you to help. When you might have information that could help them. I mean, me personally, I've gone through that.
It is difficult. No, I was talking to another entrepreneur. I think this is when it really clicked. He was talking about how he had this revolutionary startup that was going to change the world. And then so I wanted to talk to him about it because I love brainstorming. And he said, well, I can't do that.
Sure.
I can't talk about it. And how are you supposed to get other people excited and to be on the, your team to help you, to find people to connect you with if you're not willing to even give them an idea of one-liner about what your company's about.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
He said, it's like a diamond, it's multifaceted. He got into this whole thing.
Oh, jeez.
Started getting into the whole metaphor thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
But never mind. I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah. No, that's after
you
that.
You sucked the life out of me.
I was feeling that it probably wasn't even worth trying. So at that point, I had to walk away.
Right. I know, because, you do. I call it idea crack. You get hooked on the idea. It's idea crack, and then you're totally hooked on it. Yeah. And it's not even your idea. It's somebody else's idea, and you're just hooked on it with them, for them, right?
And it's a nice thing. It's great to have people. I think the more people that want to help and want to introduce you to important people, the better. So I'm really lucky.
Yeah, because you never know who people know.
No, exactly. I mean, just thinking about, going on LinkedIn, looking at people you know and who they know is amazing, the networks you have.
Oh, it's amazing. It is.
It's really wonderful.
It is. It's a wonderful thing. So what do you think are the keys to becoming a successful online entrepreneur? Because your business is conducted online. So what do you think are the keys to becoming successful at that?
Well, that's a really, really good question. I think that, we're still a startup and we're still beginning, but I think the keys are really about making the site that is not necessarily the most complicated site or the most difficult site, but a site that is so simple that people don't have any problems using it. We've tried to really simplify. You can have a complicated thing on the back end, but on the front end, you can't show that complication. It needs to be simple, easy to use. And, we call it like a Fisher Price site, where it has to be big buttons, easy to know.
I
know
it's that. It is. It totally is that.
I think that's the key. Obviously, you need to have the ability to market online and have something to share. We're trying to make things that are very shareable. We're really trying to, you know, work with the best possible SEO techniques so that not only the site itself, but each individual profile is optimized. But I think the main thing is if people come to your site and they don't know what they're supposed to do or they don't know where to click, then they're going to leave immediately.
Right. And so tell me a little bit about this aspect where these care providers can manage their entire business.
Definitely, yeah, and we're building that out more. But the main thing that we have right now for care providers is that when you create your profile, it's basically creating your own professional website. So it comes auto-equipped, as you would say, with your own URL, so that own web address you can share all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It has an online booking and payment system already built into it. And we give you tools like a free comprehensive background check. We give them the ability to manage their interviews and appointments where we send them both text and also email alerts when things come in for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really helping them with what they normally would have had trouble with, you know, marketing their own business, sharing it online, even finding a background check. Usually background checks are quite expensive. But we've been able to provide a lot of these tools to them for free so that they can not only create their profile, but use it to manage day-to-day business with new clients as well as their current clients.
So what's the thinking behind that, though, focusing on the care providers, you know, and giving them a tool that, I mean, basically nobody else is giving them. Like, what's the thinking behind that?
Well, I think that if you can make care providers and the best of them really happy, they'll share it with their current clients. And if you can get word of mouth going, you'll get more people to come on your site and use it as a daily thing. I think if you get forgotten about by people, it's really hard to get them back. But if you can create something that's so worth it for them that they need it on a daily basis, it's almost hard to fail because you've created a group of people that are almost evangelical about what you do. So we're trying to create something that people can really say, look, I use this on a daily basis and I book all my clients through it. We'd rather not be a destination site. Being a destination site is too expensive and it's also not what we want to do for the future of our business.
For those who may not know what a destination site is, can you explain that?
Sure. So a destination site would be a place where people have to find it through an expensive advertising campaign usually. It's usually a more expensive way to get somebody to one website where they, you know, you wouldn't find it through through other channels. So for us, we're trying to get the care providers will share their profiles so that we'll have partnerships with other websites where they can find our profile. You don't have to come to carebooker.com to book through carebooker.com.
Wow. Okay. So it's kind of almost like that Facebook thing, you know, where Facebook rolled out how, that's how Facebook, like my likes can appear on Facebook even if I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think it's extremely expensive and very scary to have it where everyone has to come to your website and you're not anywhere else on the web. But with us, we're
trying. Yeah, people don't understand that.
We don't want to spend, millions and millions of dollars on advertising. We want to be able to be lots and lots of places. So it's sort of like the people that care are advertising for us.
So then what's the difference between you and a few others online that appear to be doing the same thing?
Sure. So there are two, I put them in two different categories. So we have the older model, which is sort of this walled off site where you have, you know, there's tons of care providers, but in order to get to them, you have to pay a monthly fee. So those would be like the care.coms and the Sittercities. You know, great resources, but once you get there, you really can't do much other than message back and forth with care providers or create a job posting that care providers then have to reach out and apply to. That's great and it works, but it's not really immediate. It's not immediate booking. But there have been some sites that have been built for particular sectors. So there's .vacay for just pet care. There's Urban Sitter for just babysitting. But those are just one sector. So what we're trying to do is put all the sectors, babysitting, pet care, tutoring, senior care, house cleaning, fitness, physical fitness. We're trying to put them all in one place. We're calling it like
so the Amazon of care.
Exactly. Yeah, that's kind of what we're going for, because I don't believe it's fair to make a family look for care for family members in lots of different places. I really
believe irritating.
The fact that, yeah, that if you put things in one place, that's easier. You know what to expect, and you can really streamline the process of how you find care for a family. So our goal is to do that, and we're really we're starting out with just child care, pet care, and tutoring. But we're going to be launching other sectors soon as we learn and grow.
Got it. Now, you know what? That's really to be commended, because I'm telling you, I see the consolidation is what you're talking about, the aggregation,
yes.
Where you come one place instead of me having to go, okay, let's see, now I need a sitter for my dog, and then now, oh, wait a minute, I got my granddaughter this weekend, but I forgot that I had to go somewhere. Now I need to find somebody for her, and then like my dad. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, I love this concept. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and you know, everybody has somebody that they care about, whether it's a pet or a kid, or they might have everybody in their family needs help. So we want to make sort of the one-stop place for finding reliable, and you don't have to pay the online membership fee. So we're trying to make it less expensive before you get results, and also make sure that there is consistency on the web. Because I think there's a lot of other places that people also find care that are almost scary, like Craigslist. And you don't have any consistency on that platform. And I've seen crazy listings there. So we're trying to take away from the
yeah, like Silence of the Lambs looks crazy, right?
I know. So scary. And
Hannibal Lecter.
Really weird thing. So we're trying to take away that is even being something people consider, because they don't need that anymore.
Yeah, scary sitters, none. Okay.
No scary sitters.
Not even,
no, they won't pass
no
the
scary sitters. That's
no,
awesome.
And we're keeping,
that's
yeah, we're
so
keeping
important.
Statistics. Yeah, I think statistics are something you can't keep on a site where there's no booking done also. So statistics to me are really important. You know how many times people are rebooking with the same care provider. So you'll have a better idea.
And you make those public.
You know,
are those public?
Yeah, they're public. So it's completely public, and you'll know.
So like you got a Yelp. You got Yelp going on there too.
Yeah, I think it's so important to know if people are getting rebooked. If they're getting booked once and then nobody wants to book with them again, I think that's very telling. So the best sitters will always rise to the top of our search results because of those.
Uh-huh. That's really cool. That is so cool. So, you know, kind of switching a little bit, but not really, like, who are the people that inspired you and why? Why are they inspiring?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a great question. There are so many people that I take in as sort of personal inspirations, but it had to have started from my parents. I mean, I think everyone, if you have great parents, they inspire you to believe in yourself and think that you're able to be creative and to create something. So I definitely would say that my parents instilled in me that I was able to do anything, and that they always stood behind me. So I think that's a really big inspiration. But when I got to college, I ran a student-run business at Tufts University called Tufts Student Research. And they ran, I was the CEO of the company as a sophomore in college, which meant that I had board meetings, and I was responsible for a large amount of money. So the people that were on the board were some amazing, amazing leaders, and one of them was the head of the entrepreneurship department at Tufts. And she was just such a great mentor. She always, talked me through what exactly I should be doing and how to be better, and gave me the confidence to know that I could. So I would say that she was a great mentor. But, you know, in general, I just being around the startup scene and seeing all these amazing companies being started by people of all ages, I'm inspired by almost every entrepreneur that really made it happen, because so many people don't. So many people have ideas, and then they never actually execute on it. They never make it happen. So I'm just in general inspired by the entrepreneurial community and the people that I've met that are doing great things, and there are so many.
Could you share? What did you learn from those people that you'd like to pass on? Just like, give me a couple of things that you learned, specifics that you could pass on to our listeners.
Yeah, I think that in general, one thing that in the past I think no was something that was sad to me. Like the idea of getting the the word no said, or
the word no,
like, yeah, the word no, or being told that someone didn't quite like what you were doing. Everybody gets that. But I think that I've learned from a lot of the entrepreneurs, especially, that everybody gets told no. And that doesn't mean that what you're doing isn't valid, and it doesn't mean that it's not amazing. It just means that you haven't found the right person to say yes yet, but it's coming. So I think it's about getting down when you feel like, you know, everything's no today, or, you know, they don't quite get what I'm doing, because there are going to be tons of other people that do. And it's not giving up. I think that's really...
So you got to keep going.
Yeah, you have to keep going. And even if, I'm sure that there's not a person out there that's successful today that hasn't gone through their share of setbacks, or getting people saying, I don't understand what you're doing, or I don't like that. Everyone has different opinions. So I think it's chalking those up to lessons and learning from them, but not being discouraged.
Yeah, no, I just think, so that's great. That is so great. That's great. That's a great learning, that no isn't a bad thing.
No, I think no is a great thing, because you learn from it.
You don't waste your time with somebody that says no.
Yeah, exactly. And if you take that and you become stronger from it, then you'll be better off in the future.
That's great. So, okay, looking into the proverbial crystal ball, or I guess maybe internet crystal ball, what do you see as the next big trend in booking online services?
Well, I have to say that I think it's a trend that we've been seeing in other industries for a long time, and I think it's consolidation of putting things like Amazon did. I think in booking, you know, there's so many different types of booking services that it's hard to predict for every single one of them, but consolidation seems to be the key. Foremost, I'd say.
That's right. So Care Booker's leading the way that way.
Yeah,
you're leading the trend, because you're an original thinker. That's right. You're leading the trend.
We try to be. You know, I had to, when we were starting the site, I was trying to think beyond today to what tomorrow would bring. And that's sort of what we're banking on, is that consolidation of services is really where the world's heading.
Yeah, there's this thing called the singularity. That a guy named Ray Kurzweil talked about, and it is just that things consolidate. People have too much information overload, so they just find the people that they trust and they know and they like, and they're just going to listen to those people in a consolidated stream.
Yeah, and just thinking about daily life, even, there's so much overload of what to listen to that you always go back to the one thing that you really believe, or one place you really want the information from. So I think it's so everyday life that it's almost, definitely things have gotten way overloaded out there. So it's nice to see things go into more singular objects.
Thank you for creating carebooker.com. Okay, so.
Oh, thank you.
And actually, I'm just curious. So in every state, like, is that the thing? Do you go out and personally recruit? And, I can't even believe we only have like 3 more minutes left, on air.
Yeah,
actually, 2 minutes. So I can't, I'm going to say, maybe we can come back, because I want you to give some final words of wisdom for everybody who's listening, and then tell them where they can find out more about you.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'd be always happy to come back. But so you wanted to know about the recruiting process for the care providers also? Oh, you wanted to know about the recruiting process also, you were saying. How we get the
Yes, I was just saying, what final words of wisdom? Yeah, I was going to ask you about, about the states and, how many people in each state, but I think that I'd rather have you tell people how they can find out more about you. So where can they find out more about you?
Definitely. Well, we're on carebooker.com, so www.carebooker.com, and you can also find us on Facebook. You can just type in Carebooker, and Twitter, the same thing. And we have a really robust blog. So on the Facebook, we always have unique information in addition to booking care. You can find out a lot of details about care-specific things and family-related articles.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll be sure to include the links to all of those things when I post the recap of this on my blog.
Oh, wonderful. So, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, Jenna, it's been really, really wonderful meeting you and learning more about carebooker.com. I believe that you are leading the way and that you are an original thinker. And thank you so much for spending some time with me this morning. And, make sure to create a great day. And everybody, you've been listening to the business of Online Thought Leadership and with Online Thought Leader, Jenna Fernandez. All right, Jenna. It's nice meeting you, and bye
for
now.
Thank you so much. Yeah, this was wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Take it easy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.